Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Are you the same person you were as a teenager? For lots of us, the answer is thankfully and emphatically no. Still, the past lives on in our bones and has a way of coming back to haunt us no matter how hard we might try to keep it buried. That's the theme of author Roshni Chokshi's novel, The Last Tale of the Flower Bride. In the book, a man and his wife, Indigo, return to her childhood home, where he's forced to reckon with things he never knew about Indigo's past, especially about her childhood best friend, Azur, who disappeared years before. What comes next is an exploration of girlhood, fairy tales, and the secrets within every marriage. Here and Now producer Kalyani Saxena spoke with Chokshi about the book last year.
So, Roshni, it's tough to encapsulate this book without giving anything away. So let's start with your own words. You described The Last Tale of the Flower Bride as a crooked fairy tale wearing the skin of a thriller. What does that mean?
Well, when I think about fairy tales and myths and why we need them in the first place, it's often because it's seeking to explain the unexplainable. And that encapsulates the central, or one of the central relationships in the story, which is the friendship of Indigo and Azur.
Mm-hmm.
Their relationship, in many ways, it represents the tension of growing up. It's the desire to stay young enough, stay innocent enough that fairyland and fairy world makes itself known to you, like an age at which magic is not just a possibility, but it is real. And then the tension of growing up and essentially realizing that the other world is now closed to you.
Mm.
The girls really are kind of obsessed with the character of Susan Pevensey from C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And if you're familiar with it, the rest of the Pevensey children get to go on and join Aslan and Narnia. The only one who doesn't get to go is Susan.
Because she grows up.
She grows up. And mm-hmm. I thought that was so freaking tragic. Why can't you have both?
Let's talk a little bit about that friendship, the toxic, obsessive friendship that these two have. I have to admit, it reminded me a lot of the friendships I had growing up, where my best friend was also kind of my enemy. I don't know how many girls can say that.
I think most girls can say that.
Yeah.
I think we are all both Indigo and Azur at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yeah, I had so many friends like that. And I'm wondering, you know, what were you trying to say about girlhood and teenage friendship specifically between girls in this book?
How do I even say this? I never remember being quite as feral, quite as inhuman as when I was a teenage girl. That's really it. When I was a teenage girl, me and my best friends, we moved like a pack. You know, nobody went to the bathroom by themselves.
Oh, no.
There were no boundaries between us.
Mm-hmm.
All identities were blurred. And it was kind of like wearing one another's identities. And that is a really, really powerful place to come from when you're a teenage girl and when you're with your friends. You are invincible. You are invulnerable. Nothing can touch you. And in the same token, you are at your most magical. You are the definition of being caught in the in-between,
mm-hmm.
not quite a child, not yet subject to the rules of adulthood. And at the same time that you are this invulnerable, you can be bruised by a glance. You can be wounded by a single word. It's really a fairy tale conceit to be a teenage girl.
You just talked about how awful you were as a teenage girl.
I was a monster.
I'm glad you use the word monster, because do you think that we create enough space in fiction for girls and women to be monstrous on the page?
I think that it's becoming more and more embraced. Where I don't think we make quite as much space for it as I'd like is within, I guess, focusing on adolescence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We make a lot of space for femme fatales and interesting but cruel serial killers with epic fashion taste, like Killing Eve.
Right.
We make a lot of space for monstrous adult women.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to fiction and when it comes to playing with that teenage years, I don't see quite as much space for it, because I think there's only one way that it can end for a lot of people, and that is in tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what I really think, at least for me, writing Flower Bride was rather cathartic. It's It's a way of acknowledging that every person can be both victim and villain. You can be the source of toxicity. You can be the victim of toxicity. And you owe yourself self-compassion for all the people that you have been and all the identities that you've tried on that make you who you are now.
Mm-hmm. This is also a book about marriage. You wrote it as a newlywed. It's not what you would expect from a newlywed. It's not like love is beautiful, love is great. It's about all the like ugly emotions like obsession and jealousy and fear. What were you looking for? What were you trying to get at?
Why did you do that thing that you did?
And was your husband scared?
Oh, my husband. He's my favorite human. But the reason why I was interested in a fairy tale marriage is because that was something that was said a lot about my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I met my husband when I was 15 years old.
Lucky duck.
I had creepily watched his house being built. It was the first thing I said to him. I screamed at him, "Hey, you, I know where you live," on the first day of high school. And he ignored me, as one should. And from there, I borrowed a page from the Edward Cullen Handbook of Love.
Classic.
And just continued to show up at his home because, again, I knew where he lived. And somehow, I think he just gave in to mm-hmm. his fate and just acknowledged that there was nothing one could do when faced with the inevitable and agreed reluctantly to love me back. And yet, whenever I hear someone say, "Oh, that sounds like a fairy tale marriages are disgusting. They
yeah.
are cruel. They do not end well. Someone's going to get turned into a duck. Someone's going to get thrown into a pot of boiling oil. And yet the fairy tale or the myth that I think most applies to a long-term relationship, or the one that I had in the back of my head as I was writing Flower Bride, is the Greek myth of Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
In one of his tasks, he is supposed to wrestle Proteus, the sea god, which is where we get the word Protean or ever-changing from. And when Hercules is wrestling this sea god, Proteus starts changing shape. He turns from a lion, a leopard, a boar. He becomes the shape of water itself. And I think that is the truest myth that encapsulates marriage. It is the question of whether you can hold on to someone as they're shape-shifting, whether they can hold on to you as you also are shape-shifting. That was what I wanted to play with in Flower Bride. I was very curious about who would actually participate in a fairy tale marriage in modern times, and what would happen when someone wasn't willing to reveal the form that they used to have. What does mm-hmm. that do in a marriage, even when there is love?
I want to end with a quote from your author's note that really struck me. You write, "Growing up is beauty and horror. Love is beauty and horror. The last tale of the Flower Bride is a celebration of both." What do you hope readers will get out of a story that straddles the line between horror and beauty?
I hope that when you get to the end of the story, it reminds you how to look for wonder again. Because I think when we get older, we feel as though wonder is not accessible to us. And yet it is. We can find the magic in the mundane and in every single place. And what I also really, really hope, and one of my favorite things about horror itself, is a sense of extraordinary catharsis that comes after it.
Mm-hmm.
It, when you survive something, you have a greater appreciation for the life around you,
mm-hmm.
and even a greater compassion for yourself and all the things about you that allowed you to survive that. So that's my hope for readers.
That's New York Times bestselling author Roshni Chokshi. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Roshni Chokshi's novel, The Last Tale of the Flower Bride, is out in paperback.